behave? Is that what you said to me to do?
Talking to the cat.
But I want to behave, right?
Never.
No, I do not want to behave.
If we learned anything from this book, it's that all girls want bad boys.
So is that, did you literally just name the podcast this week?
All girls want bad boys.
Yes.
All girls.
I don't know.
One bad boy.
I just need you to know that sometimes you just got to be a bad girl.
Sometimes,
okay, I hate that I just did that, actually.
Sometimes you gotta wear it.
I feel dirty.
I do, too, after reading this fucking book.
You know, I don't feel dirty enough after reading this book. That's part of my problem.
I don't know. I hope I'm gonna make you feel dirty after talking about some stuff. Guys,
good.
Welcome to the Quarantine Book Club. I'm Rance.
I'm Bob.
I'm Lynn.
And this week we're talking about... I have to literally look at my own stupid Twitch feed. We're reading Halloween... The Scream Factory. But the fact that you both waved as I looked over, I saw you both wave. Halloween, The Scream Factory by Kelly O'Rourke. What up in the chat? It is Mick, R, Cade, Anxious Salt Queens, Fajita, I Got These Burgers. We had the food-themed people play watching tonight.
I mean, my name's Uncle Bobo. That you can eat me.
That doesn't...
Do? My name's Arsenic. I'm an additive.
There, if I was going to be food, I would be... what food would you be?
These nuts. Got him.
I was just about to switch to stream starting and just stream. Say, Lynn, thank you for being here with us today.
That's great. I would have had somebody to talk to about this.
Thank you so much for taking, you are literally the first person, and I think, the second or third person, right, that has taken it upon themselves to choose to read one of these garbage books with us. I think Matt Wolf and our sister.
And Mikey.
Mikey didn't read it.
Mikey didn't read the book.
We have no idea how this just kind of fell together. I just hit him up in Discord. It's like, yeah, I checked out that book you were talking about. It's really trash. It's like, oh, do you want to be on the podcast?
Yeah.
It's like, you know,
now I got to commit.
Yeah, you do.
Oh,
so if
man.
If you guys don't know, this is, I'm going to put a shout out in the chat. This is shout out Arsenic and Old Games, who you've seen in my in my chat for a while, and this is Uncle Bobo, of course. All right, so I need to tell you guys something.
Please tell me that you finished the book.
I did.
Okay.
I did. You know that I have habits. I don't have a beer tonight. Bob, what are you drinking? Corona. Lynn, what are you drinking?
Coffee.
I'm drinking. Guys, I have to tell you something.
Okay.
I made something really special for you. I'm so excited to like present to it, but like I can't get there until we get there in the book.
Did you make it with your body?
He made it all right. He made.
What would I have made with my fucking body?
Shit, just like this book.
No, I didn't make it, but it is shit, but I didn't make it with my body.
Did you make the white pee?
No, Mick, it's not my own.
Did this book want to make you make the white pee?
It did not make me. No, the book made me want to do the opposite.
Oh my God, yeah, I'm never going to be erect again.
You think
like nubile teenagers and all that other stuff, you'd be like, yeah, we're in for a horn fest. No, this is the most neutered horror book I've ever even like come close to reading.
Neutered? Why neutered?
Neutered. It's neutered to hell. It's got no teeth. It's even for a young adult novel. Imagine taking Sweet Valley High and then just adding like, oh, I don't know, a trip to the amusement park and somebody trips, and that's about the stakes in this book.
I was comparing it to Fear Street because it's right about that level and yet so much not. It missed so many points. It missed every point that was there.
Like, Fear Street is actually legitimately good. I remember reading the Goosebumps novels, and then I read some of the Fear Street books, and I don't remember, like, we're all about the same age, so you grew up sort of reading some of that kind of stuff too, right?
Yeah. I think I was a little bit too old for young for Fear Street, a little bit too young for old for Goosebumps.
That's sort of about where I was too, I think.
I was always like, there were scary stories to tell in the dark. Or no, wait, what's the one? No,
which I will not hear maligned.
Which is the one that they just made the movie of.
Yeah, Scary Stories Tell
Scary Stories.
Where it's like had the wicked awesome
art
on it. Yeah. And then they ruined it by making a really trash movie out of it, apparently.
Did they? I didn't even watch it.
I didn't either because I heard
really good documentary on the series though right now.
Really?
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
what's it called?
Check that out.
It's called Scary Stories.
Is it on?
It's about how the book was contested, how many libraries it got banned from, how many people got their art tattooed on the bodies.
The artist, I remember the old man's head with the pipe.
Yes, it's so iconic, and I was so pissed off when they changed it. But we rose up as one, and they changed it back.
We rose up. These are the matters that Lindy's taken to hand. I think about that book a lot because there's this internet comic that I see a lot of. It's like this joke where you remember the story about the Greek.
Mm-hmm. Same guy.
That story. And there's this joke comic online that is the guy marries the girl and she's like, I won't take my ribbon off. And then he's like, but please take your ribbon off. And then later on in life, no, I won't take my ribbon off. And then on her deathbed, takes the ribbon off. And instead of her head falling off, you realize that she's got a huge insane clown posse tattoo. And then literally the last frame is just him going, what the fuck, Jenny? And so that's sort of how I, like, now that I think about it, sort of how I felt about this piece of shit book. Because this book.
What the fuck? What the
was a piece of shit, right, guys?
What the fuck, Kelly? Kelly O'Rourke, what the fuck is your problem? Who said this was a good idea? Because it wasn't. It was a shit idea. I don't mean reading the book. Like, that's my fault. That's why I picked it, and I'm sorry. Let me apologize to both of you and to everybody out in the audience tonight. I'm sorry.
You know? You want to apologize to us right now?
Dear friends, dear co-hosts, and everyone in the chat, everyone who's listening to the podcast at home or watching on YouTube in the 3 months down the road when I finally get this published, because I'm a slow-ass piece of shit. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I picked this book as our Halloween finale because it's like watching dog shit turn white. It's slow, it's boring, and eventually the rain just washes it away and there's nothing left but sadness and regret. And I promise I'll never do this to you again. Until the next time I do this to you again.
Well, thank you. I accept your apology. Lynn, do you accept his apology?
Absolutely not.
Hey, by the way.
Did this to me.
You did.
I know.
I don't know if he did it to you. You willingly embraced the opportunity.
I have a pathological attraction to really bad YA horror novels.
This is a fucking really bad YA horror novel.
After last week's book. With that gem of a Nightmare on Elm Street book like story,
a philosophical exploration of the minds of people in Springwood, and it was good, and like we had a great conversation with the author on Twitter. Like I honestly wanted to just nice guy. I was about to say something really really vulgar.
We should have just quit. We should have just ended the podcast there with that episode.
Go down the peak.
Hello, by the way, Discuss Metal Dan, it's nice to see you. By the way, so we have a fan, I say it like
we have a fan.
We have a fan. We have a friend in the chat right now. His name is he is Discuss Metal Dan, and he actually runs his own podcast. Just met him recently called Discography Discussion, where he and a few friends, they go through and they listen to a bunch of metal like albums by one band and talk about it. And it is phenomenal, by the way. I just wanted to put that plug out there cuz I'll plug a motherfucker. I don't give a shit. I'll do it.
That work seems way more fun than the work we do.
It does. It does because I fucking hate it. I barely got through this bullshit. You know for a fact that I will drop a book, right? I'll drop that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. Now, I listened to it while I was doing other stuff, and I found that I would lose 20 or 30 minutes of time, and that is no exaggeration, and go, what the fuck's happening in this book? But then I realized this book is separated into three parts. Can you guys guess what those three parts?
Lynn, you want to go first?
Three parts?
It's split into three parts. And, yeah.
I have no idea, man. There was no structure.
Okay, I'm gonna go. I'll say there's the beginning, middle, and end.
A good try. Good try.
No, there's
that's what normal books do.
There's the introduction of the characters.
Yeah, which takes about. This is a 4 hour long book.
Mm-hmm.
That shit takes about an hour and a half. Would you guys agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
This is the book. It's a 4 hour audiobook. The killing doesn't start until about hour two.
And then it takes a big fucking killing. Break. Right. And then it takes a big fucking killing. Break into like the last 20 minutes.
Takes a little nap.
There's no, that's what I'm talking about. This book being so goddamn toothless. There's no stakes in this book whatsoever. It's a bunch of kids being scared of their own fucking shadows, but mostly it's them talking about whether or not they like each other
and whether they want.
We're supposed to be invested in these characters before they get offed, except, well, spoilers.
Oh wait,
spoiler away, because no one.
Please.
By the way, if you ever thought about reading Scream Factory by Kelly O'Rourke, don't fucking read it. We're spoiling it tonight. Don't ever touch this shit. Let it die. Go ahead and continue. Let him.
Yeah, please.
I have to wonder if she was obliged to keep these characters alive for the next two books that followed this.
No,
because they live.
She's not, because they're not in the other books.
What?
Really?
Spoiler alert, I started reading the next book because I needed to know. That was exactly it. I needed to know if the surviving kids, for the same reason. I needed to know if it was like a contractual thing where it's like, oh, I need to keep them alive. Well, as far as I can tell, two chapters into the next book, nope, they're not in it. They're not even in it.
Does it even have anything to do with the last book?
No. A girl moves into Michael Myers' old house, which
totally without continuity. Oh,
let's
great!
Talk about
now.
Let's
I hate
talk
it
about
more.
Haddonfield. The fact that Kelly O'Rourke doesn't even know what the layout of Haddonfield is, because we've all seen a Halloween movie where, you know, we're in the suburbs, but for some reason the Myers place is out on the end of a fucking country road somewhere that we pass in the middle of the fucking woods. How many woods are in Haddonfield?
All I remember from the – this is honest. All I remember from any of the Halloween movies is that Jamie Lee Curtis's house, a lot like Buffy's house.
In the middle of – like, and she's like, oh, I don't know, 10 seconds from her neighbor's house?
Yeah.
Like, she lives in a neighborhood. And they're all like, hey, the old Myers place, which – did they just knock all the houses around down it? Like down
that
around
was,
it? Like,
that was my theory, because Jake has this like manor house where they're keeping thoroughbred horses and art. What and I'm assuming hell? They just knocked down the entire neighborhood and they bought it on the cheap because nobody wanted to live next to the Myers house.
But didn't you guys know Jake's a fucking artist?
Jake's also a creep.
Jake's an artist, okay? He wears a black leather jacket and black jeans.
He rides a motorcycle.
Jake is he's hot.
Also, all of these characters are I was listening to it right at the beginning. I was like, oh, hey, these are all the characters from the Friday the 13th book that we listened to.
Yes, it is. Okay, so who do we have? Let's talk about these characters. Hello, Evan Flight, by the way. Let's talk about these characters and who we have, because we got to meet them before we learn about their fucking inevitable fate as vapid piles of horse shit that continue to live.
It's the most disappointed I've ever been in a horror thing, like in a slasher flick, where like normally I'm like, oh, I'm sad that character died. This time I'm really mad that not a single one of them fucking bit the bullet.
We come out on different ends because I'm like, who's toasted this scene? But okay, let's start with the characters. Lori, what's her name?
Okay, there's Lori, what's her name? What is Lori?
Why are you going to name her Lori? Why are you going to name the main character of your book Lori when the main character of your franchise is Lori?
This is how little I know about Halloween. Didn't even know that off the top of my head.
Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis is Laurie Strode.
Really?
Yeah.
I did. Okay. Well, yeah. So could this be the same Laurie?
No, it's not. It's definitely differently. Not. They talk about Laurie in the book.
Yeah,
they
I was going to
never mention her by name.
I was, okay. So it's not. Okay, so you got Laurie. What is Laurie's defining quality?
She's the author avatar.
Yes.
I saw this woman, okay? She's got long blonde hair and blue eyes, and she's got like this dark, mysterious boyfriend, and hello, creepy author trying to bone your fictional character.
Oh, gross. It's gross.
Oh, man. It's so gross.
Okay, here's a question, you guys, because I have a really hard time remembering. Because literally this whole book is like watching an Amazon Paperwhite become a regular Kindle. That's how boring it was.
Listening to paint dry.
It was, yes. Is Lori the smart one?
She's the quiet, bookish one.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
She is the smart one. Yeah, she's the smart one.
Yeah.
Because she's the one that does the homework.
Yeah, she's the one who wants to research.
The quote, mm-hmm. You're the genius in school, and I'm the genius in cool.
Fuck me.
The dialogue in this piece of shit book is nothing but cliches. Nothing but bad cliches. Like,
it's 70% dialogue.
Yeah.
There's so much dialogue. I was listening to it going, what is this? Does Kelly O'Rourke think that she's Quentin Tarantino?
Yeah, but the bad Quentin Tarantino literally just takes cliches and writes, or tries to be clever, and the cleverness just comes across as fucking stupid. Such as when the two girls, Lori and, is it Sally?
Sally.
Sally, who's like her friend that likes to fuck, right?
No, yeah. Sally doesn't like to fuck because Sally hasn't fucked. Because that's a big plot point in the book, is that everybody gets cock blocked.
There's something's going on between these two. There's a little bit of hoye in this book.
And I don't know what it is, though.
No, because Lori's looking at Sally like she was a dark-haired tigress in a tight miniskirt, and you don't know if she wants to be that or be up in that.
Right. But also the author is referring to all these girls. Like, all these girls. Not women, uh-huh. Girls as sexy. And that's the authorial voice, right? Yeah. It's the narrator, the narration. I'm not even going to fucking call it narration because it's that bad. It's just the authorial voice. Just being like, she wore sexy outfits and Sally was sexy. If I heard the fucking word sexy one more time, I was going to just take a shit on the book.
Shit.
Okay. I will give this book one point and one point only.
Please do.
Two teenage girl characters who are friends but don't seem to hate each other. They're not competing over a guy.
They don't get mad at each other. That's cool, except for the
fact
that they
talk about their little foibles, but they're friends. They don't fight. It was just so nice.
They also, though, for, you know, a Halloween or any type of slasher fiction, have zero agency at the end of the story and don't do anything. Yeah. Yep. They don't actually.
That's the other big spoiler.
Yeah, they're not functionally the heroes of the story. Hero of the story is Matt.
Matt. Who sucks.
A tertiary character. He's not even there.
And he's a dick.
And at the end of the book, he's the one who has all the agency and saves everyone.
By the way, this book club is sexy burgers. Thank you, Bert. I appreciate it. Us, including my big, look at my big nose. I wrote here, my first thing that I wrote down was that the only tension that I experienced between Sally and Lori was badly written sexual tension, as though a boy wrote this story, such as when they have a sleepover and they get into a pillow fight and Lori says, tell me the truth or I'm going to have to beat you with this bag of feathers.
I had to check to see if this wasn't written by a dude, because this reads like it was written mm-hmm. by a dude.
That's the thing. I was going to actually ask that question. I know what it sounds like when a man writes a woman. And it's not, you know, it's not good. You don't we don't get it. We just don't get it.
Nope.
And that's a fault of being a male author that we all just kind of have to live with. But like, when a woman writes women and it sounds like a man is writing those women, that's a problem. Because as a certified woman, Lynn, if I may ask you, do girls actually think these things and talk like this?
We do not.
Thank God.
Okay, can you tell me then, Lynn, really quick, if you were having,
did I become the authority?
You
here?
Did. I gotta ask you.
I'm like the worst girl.
If you were to have a sleepover with one of your best female friends, would you tell me the truth about whatever they were talking or I'm going to have to beat you with this bag of feathers.
No, we just hit each other with damn pillows.
Would you say brutally, with intent to kill until they bleed? Would you say
until they beg you to stop?
A, Jake's hot. Would you say B, Jake's mysterious? Would you say to your friend C, go get Jake? Or would you say D, put Jake's dick in your mouth?
Wait, what? Wait.
That's, I'm just asking. In there. I'm asking which of these, like, as a teenager, you would say.
You're right.
Like,
oh, gotcha. Girl.
Why are you bringing this on me?
I would personally say D. I'm going to say that about Jake.
I mean, right, that's there. What I would
because
say.
Everything
I would
with say. You is about a dick. Come
it
on.
Is. Yeah. Well, also because I'm if I'm in this book, I'm definitely sexual.
And I'm asking Rance. Rance, are you going to put Jake's dick in your mouth? Okay, because I already did. So,
how was it?
He's so mysterious. His dick is so mysterious. Wears a leather jacket.
It does.
It rides a motorcycle.
His whole penis wears a leather jacket. Jake is the mysterious one, who is of course in opposition with Matt, who is the jock, and they of course become besto pals at the end.
We become friends in a day. They're referring to each other as friends in a day. Jake's like,
she's ready to put out with him in like 2 days.
Yep. He says, I love you within 2 days. And then she says it back. I understand.
I fucking love you, dude.
And this is like the most multi-talented dude. He's like in the art club. He rides a motorcycle. He's in a band.
Oh, he's in theater. He does special effects.
I need to ask your professional opinion about the fake blood.
Yeah. No, this is fucking gross. It's ridiculous. It was a ridiculous. What was it? Fruit punch
and
tomato juice.
Ew. That seems like it would attract ants.
And also, if anything, you're going to have to use diet fruit punch as a start, right? Because you always want to use non-sugar.
I mean, like, use corn syrup, which is a sugar, but like, corn syrup, it depends on what you're doing. It depends on what you're doing for what it's used for.
Right.
And if you're just putting it on something, if you're like, hey, let me put this fake blood on this werewolf masked dummy that's in the corner. I don't know. Maybe get some fucking paint, idiot. Maybe go to the store and buy some fake blood. It's Halloween. You don't have a fucking Halloween store. Spirit Halloween in Haddonfield?
No, because they're all fucking terrified of their past about Halloween, Bob, that they're so terrified about it that they're going to keep all of the confidential murder documents that are trying to hide from all of the children in the town in a very publicly accessible place.
Jake, tomato juice and fruit punch may not even stay together as a solid, cohesive thing. They would, like, separate.
I probably drink that, three of us, at one point.
I'm going to fucking throw up thinking about it.
Oh.
Guys, am I the only one into this?
Yes.
You're the only one into fluids.
Both of you. Yes. I will say, I'd love one of you guys, if you guys don't mind, to like plot premise. I have one, but I think I'd probably not be served off better doing it. I actually will say the one thing that's winding me up, maybe this is back to the anybody ever realized that in Harry, and it's obviously like his first book, so it's a freshman attempt after he's been practicing and trying and whatever. That, like, this book actually reminds me of the distinction and authentic characters. I found the characters in Harry to be all the youth stereotypes, and that's actually what these characters reminded me of. Were the characters in Harry with a little less depth, obviously, like. Harry has a great depth in that, but like all the people around, I don't know. Would you guys agree with that or disagree? Like, for some reason, that was popping into my skull the entire time.
I've seen Harry. I haven't read Harry, but like, I mean, I guess they're stereotypes of every teen like horror movie ever. It's your jock. It's your bad boy. It's the good girl and your best friend. I mean, if you go back to the original Halloween, these characters are pretty much in there. It's so tropey to the point where it's actually a real detriment to the story that you're telling, because you can't, there's no inspiration where you can take these characters and go, let me create some real interaction between them, because it's just like it writes itself. Like Kelly O'Rourke didn't even really write this book. She just sort of let the characters write it because she spends all this time just going, hey guys, do you like each other? Do you want to kiss?
You saying that she lets them write it?
Yeah.
Is almost giving her too much credit, as though her characters are smart enough to dictate the story on their own.
Well, Kelly O'Rourke actually has even said that the second book in the series is her favorite.
So she has opinions.
Mm-hmm. she definitely does. I think it was definitely not this one. It was either the Madhouse or the Myers Place.
It just doesn't feel like she knew what kind of book she was trying to write. She looked like she was trying to write a teen romance.
Yeah.
This read like mm-hmm. Sweet Valley High.
Burgers, who knows where every burger place is in the U.S., by the way, Burgers says that there is a spirit in every shopping center, it seems. But the fact that there's not one in Haddonfield in 1997 or whenever this takes place, yeah.
I mean, you can definitely place it in the Halloween timeline. I don't know where. She just says vaguely that it takes place after 4, but... you know, and that she doesn't reference 2 in it, but she references 1 and 4. Like, I'm looking at an interview that she had right now. One of the other real, like, weird things about this book is the fact that I thought that maybe when I started listening to it, I thought that there was a precedent set, since it's a young adult novel, that at first I thought nobody was going to die. The way it was laying out almost 2 hours into the book before somebody gets killed.
Yes.
But then an adult gets killed. And yes. We go for the most of the book with only adults being killed. I think
thank
it's
God for that. Kill adults, man. Kill fucking adults.
So I'm thinking, so by the time we get past the mayor getting killed, who is the creep, the mayor's fucking, can we talk about how the mayor's
sucks.
Goddamn creep?
He is so suspicious.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I was thinking the entire time, it was like, what's going to go on with the mayor?
Yeah. I was waiting for some type of weird twist, which we never get. We never get any type of interesting twist.
Yeah.
We'll bring this up later. This was something else I noticed about the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go on.
So I'm like, okay, maybe she's handed this precedent by the publishing company that she may only kill adults because it's a young adult novel. But then our bitchy, like, teenage rival gets killed at the end of the book as the last kill. It's like, oh, the girl that you hate the whole book gets hers in the end after she gets a redemption. Yeah. After the other characters make up with her in the manner of they're like, we're going to save you. We're going to get you out of here. Then she literally just stumbles around the room to get her neck broken.
A crunch.
He turns her neck around, right? Yeah. Like he snaps her neck.
Yeah, very, very appropriate kill for Michael Myers. Like, dude's got a fucking knife. Actually, he's got a rusty gas can.
And he has many knives.
It's many knives.
He has a knife budget and a pumpkin budget.
What would you say that his knife and pumpkin budget are, guys?
It's got to be at least 500 if he's, like, getting them from maybe the farmer's market.
It's a lot. There's a lot of pumpkins, and there's a lot of writing the word revenge.
Yeah.
I don't remember that ever being in a Halloween book. I also don't remember Michael Myers growling.
Also, what is the point of the revenge?
What revenge is he getting?
Right.
On teens. He's mad at teens. even though he doesn't kill any of them, he's fucking mad at teens who party. His sister left him to sit to trick or treat by himself while she was boning her boyfriend, and that's why he killed her in the first movie, and now he's just mad at teens.
Stop partying.
Horny.
Stop partying, teens.
This book does the character of Michael Myers such a disservice because it turns him into a weird automaton that it's like he can smell teenagers that are having a good time because he goes to like bury Matt alive and then he's just like, huh? Party? I hear a party. I'll leave you here and not finish you off.
Yeah, that's the weird thing, right? Were you guys also Matt's about to fucking die, right? Mm-hmm. And
like,
then Michael Myers
getting to it.
Fingers crossed. Come
right.
on, Matt.
I'm like, come on. I want Matt to die. And then Michael Myers is basically like, Matt is, he's about to kill Matt. And
bye. That's it. That's how this entire book makes you feel.
It's like his master's voice. He's just like,
guys.
Is it the best candy?
I really just wanted to get candy. Can I interrupt?
The best candy?
That Bob yesterday gave me Frolly Sour Bright box candy corn.
Mm-hmm. Those look festive.
It's the best candy corn ever.
Which actually, I'm sorry. I hope I didn't interrupt you when I came back, because that was Michael Myers. Hey, by the way, Matt, see, what's the fucking plot of this book, you guys? Like, what the fuck is the plot of it?
Guess we're having Halloween at Haddonfield. Our mayor is worried that Michael Myers might be back, but he's not going to tell anyone. So we're going to have a party, and we're going to have a cool party in the basement of Town Hall.
That's the plot.
Yeah, that's
the
plot
of the book.
We're
making a party.
But also, here's the thing: where, like, they're like, so Sally and Lori, they are the worst rebels, because Sally and Lori are like, we have to work on a school project, so let's go into the town hall and find research. And what do they find in there?
An unlocked file cabinet. That's another question that's never answered. Who did that? Who knows?
Why? What do they find in the file cabinet?
They find information on, like, they find newspaper clippings on Michael Myers that are classified. How is a newspaper clipping classified?
And then the mayor bursts in and he's like, how'd you girls get in here? The phrase he says is, you girls make a habit of picking locks.
Yes.
They just go along with it.
They're like, I'm sorry, mayor. And he says,
sorry, we picked the lock of City Hall.
Picked the lock, and he says, don't tell anybody what you read here. Would you like to throw a party for us?
You seem like reliable young girls.
I know, right?
You seem like trustworthy. Oh, dude. The mayor's weird, and he's always sweating.
The book never fails to remind you he's bald and fat.
He's bald and fat and sweaty. Hey, do you like unattractive people? Because the mayor's one of them.
Maybe this is how Kelly O'Rourke manages to subtly remind you that the mayor will not fuck any of these kids because he's not fuckable.
Oh, man. Okay, so the Michael Myers definitely thinks that all cops are bastards because he kills off two of them. He kills off Deputy Shlomo, or whatever dude's name is, who's just out looking at his Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition.
So Michael Myers is trying to get revenge on... Why is he killing?
Because he fucking hates cops too, bro. All right? He's mad. He's mad at cops. He's mad at state officials. He actually only kills state officials. he kills the sheriff. Two of them are elected. He kills the sheriff and the mayor. And one is just a deputy. So, like, that poor deputy, maybe he thought that the deputy was, like, the deputy mayor. Maybe that he just made a mistake.
I do have a dramatic reading here, because I saved the spot where he killed the cop.
Please do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, do you need background music?
Please.
Actually, you can have a heartbeat.
Boom, boom.
You're all set.
The blade of the axe descended upon his neck and crunched through his spinal column, completely severing all ties with the world of the living. Baker's dead eyes stared out of his head, which rolled off into the clearing and stopped next to a crumpled beer can.
Where'd that beer can come from?
Why is the beer can so important?
Oh. And then a little bit later, Michael Myers puts his boot on the cop's head and crushes it with a sound like a watermelon that had been dropped off the Empire State Building. and thus my crunch counter was born.
So, can you explain to me crunch counter? I'm curious now.
Every time Michael Myers kills someone in this book, the sound of bone rendering under a butcher's knife is described as a crunch, and it happens 8 times.
You know what? I am not about the crunch.
Michael Myers is Captain Crunch.
Guys, I just had to move our faces over, by the way, in the cam. I realized that it was somehow to the right.
That's cool. Who cares? It's fine. Nobody gives a shit. Nobody gives a shit about this book. It's fucking trash.
Guys, can I share something with you?
Yeah, please do.
Nice. I like that tonight is an artistic night. It's funny how this book has inspired us to be artistic. Lynn, you've done your dramatic reading. Guys,
I didn't do anything artistic.
I recorded two songs for you.
Fuck me, what?
Okay, so Jake, our friend Jake, he is an artist.
Your friend Jake, not my fucking friend Jake. No, Jake sucks. Jake's a goddamn creep who follows Lori around. He clearly was following Lori mm-hmm. around before they were dating.
He's a mysterious loner, okay?
She's like, how do you know where I live? And we never go back to that. He just says, trust me, it's cool.
Well, I was sort of waiting for Jake to somehow be like the reincarnated soul of Michael Myers. Like, oh, it would have made
that'd
sense.
Be fun, right?
It would have made sense to me in like a young adult book to also have made Michael Myers like a young adult in a way. Like, I would have been cool with that. I would be like, that's creative and interesting and unique.
It's fine to neuter it and take the teeth out of it if you do something interesting. Right. But instead, we're just like, hey, no, it's just Michael Myers running around. And Jake's really just a goddamn creep. And nowadays, in 2020, we'd all look at him and go, hey, guess what, dude? You're canceled. Yeah. Fuck off. You're a goddamn weirdo. Why is Lori not looking at him and holding him accountable and saying, hey, Jake, how do you know where I fucking live?
Right.
Just like she in her monologue that she talks about, she's like, oh, man, I don't know. Maybe he's okay. Maybe I'm thinking too much into it. No, you're not. You live in a town where there have been serial murders. Make sure that the guy you're dating doesn't want to turn your intestines into a volleyball net.
I decided that I was going to have some fun writing some music. So Jake is, I just moved the screen again. Jake is an artist. Hmm. And Jake wrote a song. The song was called.
The Boogie.
Did it have a title?
It's called
the Boogeyman.
It's about the Boogeyman.
The Booger Man.
Boogeyman. And the lyrics for it, I'm going to read the lyrics to you. Essentially, we read the lyrics because I can't say that my recording quality is great. The lyrics are, he's going to get you. He'll follow you home. He's been waiting and watching. You're never alone. He's been out in the woods. He's waiting for you. When he gets you alone, your young life is through.
This is a song about Jake. This is a song about what he's been doing to Lori until he met her.
Every step you take, every breath you...
Yes, absolutely. And then, of course, I'm the boogeyman baby and I never die. I'm the boogeyman baby and that's no lie. I'm the boogeyman baby, so don't even try to get away from me. So the problem I had with this is that the 80s slash librarian, who's a great reader, and I'm literally every time that I listen to a book by the 80s slash, that read by the 80s slash librarian, I enjoy his voice even more.
Mm-hmm.
But this song shows up at least twice, and he reads the whole thing, and he reads it with that ba-bum, 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 that iambic pentameter heartbeat, right? I was like, I can't handle this, you guys, so I need to figure out what kind of song Jake wrote. But I couldn't figure it out, so I wrote two of them.
Oh, no.
So would you guys care to hear the world premiere of Nick Cave sings Jake's I'm the Boogeyman as performed by Rance? Or would you like to hear My Chemical Romance performs I'm the Boogeyman by Jake as performed by Rance?
Wow.
I'm a okay. Nick Cave girl.
Yeah, let's start with that. Like, me right. too. I would rather hear Nick Cave.
I'm actually proud of the My Chemical Romance one more, so I'm glad we're keeping that for later.
Cool. Good.
So let me, if you guys don't mind indulging me, give me just a moment. I'm going to share the screen so we can see the lyrics, and then I'm going to play for you this. So if you can turn your music up or your okay. sound, we'll be just ready. But I need to share this.
I just don't understand why would you do this to yourself?
You'll notice that I have created a lyric.
A lyric slide
just for you. And I'm not going to extend the slide. You know what? I don't need to. But here we go. So this is Nick Cave performs I'm the Boogeyman, Baby by Jake as performed by Rance.
He's going to get you. He'll follow you home. Even when you're watching, you're never alone. He's out in the woods. He's waiting for you.
Definitely got a bit of rockabilly to it, bud. Like you're going, you're like,
thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Like
you'll notice. I'm sorry. I had my. I couldn't. Yes. Okay. Content's back up. Okay,
bro. Yeah. I gotta say, first of all, that your vocal quality there was impressive. Like you got that low end that really. Wow, man.
Would you be
the subliminals forward before?
Would you say that the beginning actually was more low end? I'd like to make sure.
I'd like to make sure that we're
back here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. No, that was the best. I mean, one of the best parts of the song. I also need you to know though that as I'm looking at your lyrics on the screen over here, you spelled boogeyman two different ways, and it's clearly got the like I messed up lines under it.
It does. Boogeyman.
The boogeyman.
Shut up.
The boogeyman.
Still paying more attention than the author.
Thank you. Boogeyman.
The boogeyman.
So. That was my first rendition of it, right? Yeah. And I was like, rockabilly sort of fits Jake. He's weird, mm-hmm. but gothy, but also whatever, right? But then I decided that it was hard rock, and maybe it needed to be a little harder, but not as hard as I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
So I decided to perform in My Chemical Room.
Let's do it. I want to hear it.
So, guys, this is the world premiere of I'm the Boogeyman, Baby. By Jake, as performed by Rance in the style of My Chemical Room. You guys ready?
I'm ready.
Guys ready?
I'll never be ready.
You'll never be ready. Go.
He's fixed to get you. He's fixed to get you. I'm the boogeyman, baby, and I'll never die. I'm the boogeyman, baby, and that's no lie. The boogeyman, baby, so don't even try to get away from me. He's going to get you, he'll follow you home. But you've been waiting and watching, you're never alone. He's been out in the woods, he's waiting for waiting and watching. You're never alone. 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 The boogeyman's called you.
Guys, that was the treat that I developed for you this.
Welcome to your first copyright strike. I don't know from who, but someone's going to want that for their own.
That was right there. That was royalty free.
Nice. Wow. Hey, buddy.
Yeah.
I need you to know that from now on, every Halloween, when we do our episodes,
yeah,
I'm going to need both of these songs because one's going to be our beginning theme and one's going to be our end theme. You're never escaping them ever again.
I was
in fact, I might just turn them into the show theme. Fuck it.
Maybe I'll send them to the 80s slasher librarian and say, these are for you. Because the first one, actually, the first one was, the style was inspired by the theme song that he
The Leonard Cohen one.
The Leonard Cohen one, yeah.
Yeah.
But then I was like, because I don't know, I was like, I kept hearing this song in the fucking, thank you, Burgers, by the way. I kept hearing this song in the fucking, like, book, and I was like, this is the first time I've ever read a book where the song is so fucking stupid that's in it. But I gotta figure, like, but it also works. Like, it
dude,
works.
I'm impressed, man. I'm impressed. I think I am really impressed with your My Chemical Romance vocals. It started out, and I thought it was going to be more Misfits-y, because that's what it sounded like with the 1, 2, 3, 4. With I know Ramones, but it sounded Misfits-y, like the guitars and stuff. And I was like, okay, no, this makes sense. It's like a Michael Graves Misfits song. But way to go, dude. You should be proud. And in a day, did you put this together in a day?
Okay, so let me tell you guys how that was recorded. You want to take a guess how it was recorded?
I'm assuming that you sat right there at that chair and recorded it.
100%. Also, watch out behind you, Lynn. It looks like your little shadow of cat is about to get involved into problems.
Oh, my kitty. Look at that little beb. Oh, I'd rather just watch that little kitty rather than talk about this book anymore, because holy shit.
So I felt like...
Cats nonstop entertainment.
They are. I grabbed both of those songs from... They were royalty free, whoever made them, and then I just literally recorded. But my favorite part was just going,
I'm the boogeyman. I'm the boogeyman.
No, of course.
It's a subliminal message.
It was. So that was my gift to you guys, because I feel like with all the garbage of reading this book, you need to have something to take away. And I can almost promise you, if that is not in your head later on, I'm gonna be fucking angry.
I don't ever want to. I don't ever want to think about this book again after this episode is over. And I'm going to have to do editing and creating, you know, a show summary and a cover for the episode. And
we're not even done. We got derailed in the plot synopsis. Yeah,
we got so much to talk about.
So much nothing to talk about.
Why is
we did
Michael
not get
Myers
to the pizza parlor scene.
And it's a young dog, but there's got to be a fucking pizza parlor scene.
What is the name of the girl that's their bully?
Marcia.
Yeah.
Okay, Marcia. Marcia's a fucking asshole. She's a rich, privileged pain in the ass. But does she deserve to die at the end like she does? I mean, you're right. Everybody deserved to die. But, like, I felt like it was really unfair that she was the only teen that died.
There were almost a lot of other teens that did die, but they did not great white that town hall.
It could have been an awesome massacre, and instead it was like looking at your limp dick in the shower and being sad.
They killed the band. The band wasn't that bad.
No, they killed.
Oh, they
band.
Did kill the band. You're right.
Right? Did you just hear them? They're a great band.
You're right. I forgot they killed the band, and Jake's like, no. And then he gets trapped under a net.
And he finds them all, like, hanging dead in a cave. Like, there's a lot of weird things in this where I'm like, what? And that happened.
Michael Myers just... and he hung them. Yeah. He hung them. How fast is this guy at hanging people?
Well, he tied the phone cord into a noose at one point, too. So he's the fastest noose in the West.
He is the fastest noose in the West.
Because of all those times in the Halloween movies where Michael Myers tied fucking nooses.
And drove police cars.
I mean, he does drive an ambulance in one of them. Least one. Yeah, he escaped when he escapes the mental institute, he steals the ambulance.
Okay, I think a class F license.
Right. Who just drives an ambulance? Like,
I mean, but that's also a problem with the Halloween series in general. Michael Myers is capable, but he's also this, like, he's the shape. So he's like this incessant force of nature, but he also does really like just human things sometimes.
May I ask a question?
Yeah.
What did you just say?
He's the shape. That's what he's referred. That's what he is referred to in like officially him as with the mask as the serial killer.
The shape came towards us.
He is just the shape. Yeah. Okay. Like that's it's because he's sort of this like he's like this inhuman vessel that doesn't have anything else other than this like desire to murder.
Gotcha.
And Carpenter referred to him as the shape.
Okay, cool. No, I did not know that. Again, uninformed at the Halloween scene.
And that was the thing that I was going to bring up earlier, because the book keeps throwing all these red herrings at you. Like it makes it look like Marcia is planning revenge, so she's doing everything, or the mayor's up to something shady, or Jake's stalking her. But you can't establish the tension that maybe somebody else is responsible if you're also cutting away to Michael Myers and calling him by name every time.
Yes.
Killing cops.
Yeah.
The very first page of it, they mention Michael Myers by name. There is no mystery behind this being. There's none. Like they're all very aware, and in a town that they're desperate to erase the history of Michael Myers and the Haddonfield Killers murders. They're real desperate to erase that history, but everybody's fucking talking about Michael Myers. Like, Michael Myers here, but I can talk about him.
This book is like your mom walking in on you while you're finger banging your girlfriend.
Have you written all of these down, by the way?
No.
Like, because they're coming out of you like that.
No, it's just it's because it's inspired me with its fucking terribleness. I mean, it is though. It's so anticlimactic. You get all fucking worked up, but like every fucking like situation of with every teenager ever, it's a real fucking boner owner. It just you're like, oh hey, we're gonna have something fun, something cool's gonna happen here. Oh, guess what? No, mom's in. I guess we're just gonna sit 5 feet apart and pretend like we don't kiss each other.
Right, right.
That's what this book is, man. It's like. Kelly O'Rourke, you're an asshole. And you made a thing that I don't like, and I don't like you because you made a thing I don't like.
Can I ask a professional question, Bob? Is the theater fine?
Yeah, sure.
Is there intelligence in discovering an old guillotine, a functional guillotine blade, in the town hall, and hanging it up in the...
Where you found it? No, he found it in the theater. He found it in the theater. Yeah.
And hanging it up as a decoration?
That's my notes just say Chekhov's guillotine.
Yeah.
No, you know from the moment that guillotine is introduced that somebody is going to get killed with it. Also, if at the moment that you're like, I'm going to pull it out of the box, but it cut me, I'm like, no, I don't want that in my fucking haunted house.
I don't
it's
want
actually
that.
Dangerous.
Right. It's the same bullshit with chainsaws.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not fuck with a chainsaw in a haunted house.
Yeah. No, because you know what? It'll deafen you. It'll permanently injure your hearing.
No chainsaws, no guillotines.
Also, chainsaws are fucking overdone in haunted houses, all right? Listen, friends, if you run a fucking haunted house, I'm telling you as a guy who works in an industry where I deal with scare stuff, don't fucking do chainsaws. It's overdone. It's overplayed. Nobody's scared of it anymore. And it's just loud and annoying. Think of something else.
And I'm telling you as an archivist... Don't move the fucking file cabinets. That shit's ruined. You'll never find anything again.
Don't move the file cabinets.
We're making a maze out of them by throwing some rags over them.
That seemed like a terrible... And also, what kind of shitty... A, how many file cabinets do you have in B? How shitty a maze is that? Because I can look over every file cabinet I fucking know. Mm-hmm. It's not like file cabinets go 20... Burgers wants to know, though, if he can use a table saw instead of a gate.
Only if you've seen the new Child's Play.
Okay. Okay. So let's talk about some of our notes, because I know each one of us took some notes. So I would like, we should just do round table, like a thing you have a note about and some of your thoughts on it. Lynn, do you want to start?
Let me find a good one.
Okay.
Go on without me. I'm fine. I'm lost here.
Bob, you got
go
one?
Ahead. No, you go.
The sexual talk. Sexual talk in this book. With such amazing hot phrases such as "not being so busy and get to work on me." I don't know if I'm trying to turn someone on, whether I'm trying to turn on a man and get his pants tight, or I'm trying to turn on a woman and get her feeling all right. Rhyme, as performed by Rance as Jake's band. All night. I'm going to use the phrase, stop being so busy and get to work on me 100%.
I think I might use it right now.
Do it.
Can I? Give me a second. Hold on.
Hey, Tara. Could you come downstairs for a second?
We're going to see if this really works. We're going to see if this really works.
I just want to know. I'm going to do a test.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Do a real life test.
I think it's
You're going to get slapped, son.
Yep.
Nah, it's fine. This is actually probably pretty close to the line I'd use anyway.
I need to ask your
professional opinion as a certified woman.
Okay.
Can I, everyone, this is my fiance Tara. You can't see her, but she's here.
She's behind the
wave,
mask.
Just wave. There you go. See?
Huh.
Yeah. Tara, what if I said to you, we were just hanging out and I wanted to turn you on and I said, what did it, could you give me the phrase again?
It was, stop being so busy and get to work.
Stop being so busy and get to work on me. What would you do? Would that turn you on? Would you be like, I got to get in there and get to work on him?
I would say, what would you like to work on?
Me.
Great. So what would you like to work on?
My dick.
It's a no for me, dog.
Okay, the answer is it's a no
it's
for me,
it's going to be
dog.
A no for me, dog.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So,
you're welcome.
So it's clear that Kelly O'Rourke...
Now, if you said, get in here and suck my dick, then we're going to do it.
Well...
See?
I'm glad you didn't ask that.
Right. That's not a Bob
thing. I'll talk to you later, babe.
That's the thing, is that, like... Kelly O'Rourke clearly doesn't know how teenagers talk, let alone how human beings communicate sexual desire to one another.
Clearly, my fiance knows how to communicate
sexual desire. Well, it's nice that we got a chance to talk here.
Yeah, all right, guys. Bye. I'll see you next week.
Oh, dear.
That's not happening. Bob's got a headache.
That happened, right?
It's not happening next week.
It's not happening next week. So that was my first one I wanted to point out. What a bullshit line. Like, why? Why?
So we do all know that saying, come over here and suck my dick, like, will work then, clearly.
No, it won't. Has to be initiated by your other party.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Gotcha. All right.
Okay, so stop being so busy and get to work on me. Absolutely no. Why the fuck would you write that? Why is that a word? Why is that a phrase? Why is that a sentence? It's in this book. Why do these words go together like that? Who thought that was even remotely sexual? They're teenagers.
And who has sex in a stranger's jacuzzi?
Right. Well, clearly.
Go.
Go.
I mean, like, honestly, let's face it. You could, like, be like, oh, hey, here's, this stranger's bathroom and I'm probably gonna have sex in it.
Yeah, no,
like,
not the bathroom.
I mean, it's gotta be a clean bathroom. It was a dirty bathroom. And we're not laying on the bathroom floor, okay? It's standing up.
Very good point. Nobody
wants to clean up your baby bullion out of their jacuzzi, okay?
Oh no! What'd you just call it?
Nothing.
Your man batter?
Did you just call it baby bullion?
Yeah. Yeah, why pee?
You're not the only one that gets to make up weird words for semen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Baby See? Bouillon?
Because it's hot and foamy.
I hate this so much.
it's dick
it's
throw
a jacuzzi,
off.
You know?
I hate all of you guys right now. I fucking hate all of you guys. Oh my God. Okay. What's our
so
next one?
Right along. I want to talk about Jake's band.
Yeah.
So what Kiss song do you think they covered?
Great question.
I'm thinking they rock put and the roll X and all night. Six.
Oh, you think so? I just think it was like whatever cheesy Kiss song they could think. So it was like rock and roll all night.
Lynn, which one did you say?
I put the X in sex.
And then I want to party rock. I wouldn't.
I don't know Kiss well, so like I'm
that way.
I, Never been a big fan. I don't know. It's always been like,
you only need to know two Kids songs and it's fine. They're irrelevant. Just rock and roll all night.
That's a great question. Actually, I was sort of wondering that too, because you're right. They were playing a Kids song after they played their hit song, I'm the Boogeyman.
Yeah, and I want to pretend that the slow song he played next was Beth, only he changed Beth to Lori, but
well,
his references.
I'm the Boogeyman.
I'm the Boogeyman.
I'm the Boogeyman.
He did also play, I love the quick suggestion of like, hey, the girl I love's out there. Can you play the song I wrote for the girl I used to love?
Dude, that's so cheesy and gross. And like, what the fuck is wrong with you, Jake?
At least rename the fucking song right then and there. Don't call it Brenda for Lori or whatever.
No, he just changed Brenda's name to Baby throughout.
Yeah.
And
which
also,
is such a fucking douche move.
And then Brenda's
she's
right there.
If Tara found out that I wrote a song for somebody else and then I was like, the song's for you, baby, she'd be like, well, remember that thing I said to you earlier? Not happening ever again.
Never. Done. Finished.
And she would be within she would be absolutely 100% right.
Play Brenda. Play Brenda.
Come on, play Brenda.
Guys. We're going to do a quick. Nobody does.
Play Brenda.
From a perspective, someone who's been in a fucking band with this guy, no one ever goes, oh, let's change the set list up real quick. Let's do a quick change the set list. It doesn't fucking happen.
Also, because
all of our shit was on DAT tape, so we honestly couldn't do a change up anyway. But I was like, no, that's not how bands work.
Was it on professional recording quality tape?
It was.
And was your crackhead girlfriend in the audience?
That, and you know what else? Like now in 2020, the fact that she was like clearly distraught and had some like emotional issues.
Yes.
And they're like, she's a bad person. She's a piece of shit because, you know, you probably fucking stalked her for months. And
she was on drugs and then she tried to get me to do drugs and I didn't want her to do drugs. So I just dumped her. And apparently she doesn't know about it.
Yeah, that's called ghosting, except for the fact you don't even disappear. You're just like.
So then so many drugs that I don't remember.
The cops drag her out. Dressed like Stevie Nicks, apparently.
The security guards drag her out. I didn't know we had security guards. Where are they when Michael Myers shows up and starts killing people?
Well, they're dragging out the girlfriend, so they leave a gap.
Hey, you know, at some point in this book, she states exact numbers of people who are killed, like from the movies and stuff, but like she gets everything else wrong. She gets characters wrong when she's talking about like who shot Michael Myers at what point. And can we get like a Loomis type character? We got nothing like that. It's, you know, one of the big things about Halloween, if you're going to go and be formulaic about it, Michael Myers kills teens. He also is tracked down by, a psychiatrist who is trying to understand him and also catch him and keep him from hurting people. That's kind of like a trope that even in the newer Halloween, the one that came out in 2018, there's a psychiatrist. And now granted they do a little twisty with that, but I kind of need that character there to explain to me some of why Michael Myers is what he is. So like your kids aren't just running around going, Michael Myers is a killer. Yeah. Okay. But why? Like, give me some like backstory. Like, don't just be like, hey, guess what? I'm going to give you the backstory because I'm the narrator.
Dude, Michael Myers is a killer. Yeah, no, I agree. There's absolutely, you have to have a predetermined understanding of who Michael Myers is. Look. And if it's a young adult book, what did they fucking watch?
I mean, that's it. Like, I would have read this book in high school, knowing fully well who Michael Myers was, having watched several of the movies at that point. And I would have been like, yo, this is fucking lame.
And lame it.
It occurred to me halfway through that I know the universe of Halloween by osmosis, basically. I don't know what any of the details. It fails on the level of being a Halloween book, and it fails on the level of just being a scary book, because it's not.
Nope. Not at all.
It's such a joke.
But one of my other favorite lines was that Jake, he was described at one point narrated that a new breed of fear entered his mind.
What?
What the fuck does that even mean?
We're just going to leave it there, huh?
A new breed of fear. Right, exactly. We're just going to leave it there. Like, what is this new breed of fear? How is fear number two different than number one? What? How is this fear bred?
Number one makes you pee your pants. Fear number two makes you shit your pants.
That is so we could. That is,
you felt so, a new breed
so
of fear.
So wait, so the
pants.
New breed. Does the new breed of fear mean that he made baby batter in his pants? That he made baby bouillon in his pants?
Well, you
that
see,
is
when,
the mysterious weird kind of third fear.
when a mommy scary and a daddy horror love each other very much, they get together and create a new breed of fear.
Oh, okay. In a jacuzzi.
Isn't that also basically all Zeus's kids came to be? Is there a connection in mythology and Halloween by Kelly O'Rourke? Halloween scare fear factory. Scare factor.
Fact
she did end up writing a book about mermaids. So.
Did she? Was she writing a book about mermaids?
Yeah, Misfortunes in Merfolk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's supposed to be like a humorous, like lighthearted fantasy take.
How many cats does she have? Not that there's anything
but it's
wrong
also
with
adult.
Cats,
it's also
how
an
many
adult
cats
book,
does she have? What's your over under on cats?
Seven.
Yeah, she's muscling into my folklore. She's muscling into my horror. This woman must go.
How many cats she got?
Me personally or her?
Her.
No, her. Her.
I'm guessing at least five.
Yeah. I'm going with more than three. We're hitting the odds. Going with more. I gotta find out. I'll find out. I'll get back to you guys both on that.
How many
I'm gonna Jake her house.
Google how many cats does Kelly O'Rourke have?
Let's see if we can find that out.
How many cats?
There you go.
So, okay, like, also, Michael Myers kills a dog and leaves it in his old house.
Yeah, trigger warning, dog dies.
Right, right. It goes from, we're picking up Jake with his dumb busted ass bike to there's a dead dog in this house and we're all looking at it.
Yeah, you guys want to stop by the old Myers place? Because I'm a creep and live up the road from it.
I'll show you the blood splattered on the walls and... Oh no, blood is splattered on the walls. How did he know that? Maybe he's the killer. Spoilers, he's not.
He's not. Also, I like that when they go to the Myers house, right? Jake and Matt haven't known each other for about 5 minutes. And Jake's like, do you guys want to go by the house? And Matt's like, yeah, sure, I guess. Cool, whatever. I'll bring the girls up there. And the minute they go there and they see the dead dog, Matt's like, Jake, did you set this whole thing up? And Jake's like, no, it's a fucking dead dog. Like, it's one of the only times that he's logical. He's like, no, it's a fucking dead dog in the house. I didn't do this. What kind of fucked up person would need to kill a dog, bring their bike, break it down, expect that you're going to drive by in this era where we don't have functional cell phones, know where people are at because they can't sign into places, and you're going to pick me up and fucking we're going to go here. Like, no, Matt. And Matt's like, well, I guess you're they're really suspicious to me. I don't know if I believe you.
But then he fucking falls over in the mud and then goes, hey, I guess you're okay. Guess you're my new best friend.
There's a lot of picking people up in this, too, out of the mud.
Matt gets covered in mud a lot, actually. Matt's a mud boy. Matt needs to push the mud off.
Matt needs to push the mud off. He is a mud boy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a 100% mud boy.
That's because he's dirty.
I hate
That's
him. He's just, he's such a neg. I want him to die. half of my notes are just, yeah, fuck you, Mac.
Fuck you.
But yet Matt's your hero. Matt, at the end of the day, Matt's the brave one. Matt's the one that goes back in and saves Jake. He's the one who
can't even get a final girl out of this thing.
Right. I was waiting for that. I was waiting for all the guys to die and some are going to be incapacitated.
Girls, you go wait outside.
Right.
Go wait outside.
Because to me,
with a female author.
Subtitle of this book should be, here I come to, I'm Madman. Because that's what he fucking sings at one point.
Fuck this stupid book. Fuck this book so hard.
Here I come to save the day.
I'm Madman.
That was one of my other notes. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the only thing I really can think of that I want to talk about, Jake and his fucking pretentious tattoo. And the sweet and sour pork analogy.
Oh, wait, this is fucking stupid bullshit. Yeah, this must be the part that you just lost.
Yeah, because there was there were several times in here.
It's when they're at Matt's house or Jake's house hanging out. Before we're going
to
bang.
I was saying, remember when I told you guys this book is broken into three?
Yes.
Broken into the beginning, broken into we set up for the party, and then it place burns down. That's the three. That a lot of that.
Oh, my God. I just got it. That's the Carrie connection. That's exactly the progression of events in Carrie.
Yes, that's why I think that's why I think that's why I'm seeing Carrie in this. Only it's not a high school. It's a town hall, right? But even then, like literally, the whole town becomes consumed by it. And that was one of the reasons that at the end, like I was waiting for so many people to die when the play, especially when Laurie narrates. Like there's this moment of narration where Laurie's like, "Gotta save elves," because I'm like, "Open the fucking door, bitch!" Like I don't like to use that word like that, but I'm like, "Come on." Dumbass.
Wasn't she also the one that basically said, "Well, we're all in one place. He can't get us all."
He was drinking the dumb bitch juice.
I was. All right. Let's talk about what happens to Michael Myers at the end of the book.
Could somebody like draw me a diagram of how this is supposed to work? Because I need scorecards or something.
I don't. First of all, I've been in a couple of town halls, and your records room in a basement in a town hall isn't big enough to have a dance floor, let alone a dance floor and a maze and a storage cage and a punch bowl and a guillotine.
Right.
And so we're just like, hey, well, we've dropped all the balloons on the kids, and now everybody's trapped. Let's chase Michael. Hey, Michael Myers, you're real dumb. I'm standing behind a guillotine. Also, do you want to come get me?
What kind of Wile E. Coyote shit is this?
Ebon Flight has provided us a...
Thanks. Thanks, Ebon Flight.
We need
appreciate
all the support
it,
we can get. You are a kind soul.
This book is like...
It doesn't make sense. It's badly designed in the sense that there's a lot of... there was a little baby batter on my. I'm glad we just.
It's like filling your COVID mask with shit and then putting it on your mouth and saying, "Oh, I guess that was good enough for today."
When Michael Myers really appears at the party, he is described in this fashion. Ebon Flight, we're upset only because the book sucks.
It's a bad book.
Laurie. Michael Myers, and she thinks this wasn't a costume. This was for real. Holding a rusted gas can and a burning jack-o'-lantern in the other, L had arrived.
I mean, it's a costume because it's a mask. So, like, it's literally the definition of a costume.
Guys, I'm Michael Myers.
Guys, I got the gas can.
Got a gas can. Got a jack-o'-lantern. Like, just get a fucking lighter then. You don't need a jack-o'-lantern.
Got a jack-o'-lantern. Got a lighter. Got a shovel somehow. Right. Got 40 knives.
Puts the shovel in the door, right?
I mean, but that's what he does, man. He's jack-o'-lantern man.
Yeah,
Michael
I know.
Myers, jack-o'-lantern
but
man.
But that doesn't seem
jack-o'-stabber.
That doesn't seem to me logical, right? Like, let me actually carry around the tea light candle instead. As opposed to the whole fucking jack-o'-lantern. Like,
he
the man
just wants
still
to be like Green Goblin.
Get a Zippo.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of work present when it comes to him trying to burn the fucker down.
I mean, there's a lot of teens around who are probably smoking cigarettes and marijuana.
Right.
He can't find a fucking lighter there somewhere.
Right, there's got to be.
Also, there's a lot of candles. They even say that there's candles and jack-o'-lanterns in the basement. Maybe he could just, I don't know, like, it's stupid.
Did you get the slight shadowing at one point, they're like, it's going to be warm enough down there. There's a lot of candles and fires down. So
yeah. Oh yeah. Well, also, you know, like you said, Chekhov's guillotine, spoilers, Michael Myers gets chopped in the head with the guillotine. They drop the guillotine on. It doesn't even cut his head off.
Or
it just,
does he?
It
right.
Just,
right.
Yeah. I mean, it could be what's her name, even though she's dead too. Maybe,
Brenda,
maybe,
or fucking Marsha, or
we don't know.
Marsha, who could hurt?
They never find the bodies.
Her bone scattering crunch.
Yes. There's your crunches. What else you guys got? What other little notes did you run across?
I think I'm out because I talked about a lot of them in the actual like main area of the show. It's just so badly written, and it's not. There's no rhyme or reason to what's happening in it, except, hey, here's a normal day in the life of some teens. I guess this is how teens react. It's been 25 years since I was this age, so I don't know. But like, do teens act like this? Is this what would have been? Like, I would have been one of these kids in this exact time period. This is mid 90s when I was in high school.
It's four boring kids noodling around and 15 minutes of tension.
Yep.
Barely.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And that tension is entirely established because the girls are running from and tripping over themselves, and the boys, well, they're also bait.
I do have one more dramatic reading.
Can't wait. Please. I'll give you another heartbeat.
Cap this off.
This is the mayor's demise.
Yes, this one is one of the ones that I like the most, actually, because it I believe the word crunch shows up three times. Doesn't it?
Oh, it does.
Okay, here we go.
The blade of the gleaming butcher's knife crunched through the mayor's ribcage and slid into his heart. Fresh red blood seeped from the gaping wound. The mayor let out one desperate cry as he struggled to remove the knife that protruded sickeningly from his chest. The last thing Mayor Jameson saw was the horrifying face of Michael Myers looming overhead before everything went white. His heavy, broken body dropped to the floor with a crash.
We refer to Michael Myers' face a lot in this book, and that pissed me off. You don't know what Michael Myers' face looks like. You know what his mask looks like.
That he has bad teeth.
Does he?
Yeah.
He is distinctly described as having yellow, rotted teeth.
Yep. Which is funny because I that one jumped out to me, and I don't
know. How do they know what his teeth look like?
You know that Michael Myers' mask has a tooth place in it.
It's just for teeth. It covers everything except this.
He has to have a hole. How is he supposed to get candy in there?
Right. How is he going to
go like this? You go inside the mask. You go underneath, through the neck hole, through the Shatner neck hole, into the mouth.
So you'll just see him going, I'm a sucker.
Yeah. I mean, you all know that Michael Myers loves candy.
He's a candy fiend. He's a candy fiend.
If there's one thing I know about Michael Myers, it's how much he loves candy.
He loves candy and jack-lanterns. Jack-lanterns, killing, revenge, walking slowly, forgetting what... He's the most ADD killer I know. He's like, I forgot I was killing this kid, so let me go kill a bunch of other kids. Hey. Ooh, big shiny thing.
Oh, hey, also, 1990s, they called, and they want Sally's costume back because we're not doing that in the 2020s.
Wait. Lori fell. Oh yeah. The quote unquote, I'm using the word that's in the book, the gypsy costume.
Brenda.
That was Brenda. Damn it.
The Cleopatra costume.
You're right.
Hey friends, guess what? Cleopatra's not white. She wasn't white.
I got these burgers.
She was Egyptian.
Candy killing, best things. Right? Yeah, exactly. But hey, you know, at least Lori does it right. Lori felt sexy in her cat costume. Sally had really made her look.
I thought when she started talking about her, like...
I wrote a lot of notes about Lori, by the way.
Her bodysuit that she was wearing.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to do the Grease costume, the Sandra Dee costume at the end.
That's what I thought. She was going to come out sewn into the pants.
Yeah. It was ridiculous. Oh, I'm a cat. I'm a sexy cat. I'm going to make you so sexy so Jake's so... He's so jealous.
Oh, and Jake is dressed as the devil.
He's a sexy devil.
Sexy devil.
And nobody can tell.
Bad boy.
And he's going to start. Do you guys also see like the production value of this band performance, like from a high school level? That like they're like the lights go off and Jake appears with like his red eyes, and he is the. For a minute, they all think that he's a killer. It's so Jake is the mysterious one. Burgers. He sucks.
That's what I would have done when I was in high school. I was the mysterious one. I was in a band. We were in bands. I had that quality in high school, clearly.
You're a rebel and you never do anything.
I was
good.
I was definitely never in a band in which we covered Marilyn Manson songs and referred to myself as Candy Cane Lane. That never happened.
I forgot about that part of you.
But Cane is spelled like the biblical character.
I forgot about that.
Oh.
That's brutal, dude. That's edgy as shit. Okay,
Burgers, I was the inspiration for Jake.
You are. Bob is the Jake inspiration. Well, guys, it is about 9:24. So do we want to finish it off with some sort of like final assessments? You want to, end this book on a high note?
Yeah, Kelly O'Rourke. Normally this is Rance's job. But I'll fucking fight you. Okay. Like
Bob wants to fight.
I believe in equality. I believe that anything I can do, you can do better. And except when it comes to fighting, because I'll punch your ass out. I hate you. I hate this book. I think that you deserve to get raked over the coals for it by your family should hate you. They should be ashamed of you.
Yeah.
If you have children or cats, they should shun you. And I'll fight you. Let's go.
Arsh.
I think you could do it.
I think so too.
I mean, I could take her. She looks like a real Karen.
Yeah. Fuck Kelly O'Rourke.
I don't know, guys. I want to plug my new Kindle erotica book, Cock Blocked by the Sexy Serial Killer.
Cool. Does it start somewhere named? Does it star Lori, Sandy, Sally,
Sally, Jesse, Raphael, yes.
Jake and Nat.
Marsha.
Brenda. These are the fucking names. For any character.
There are no
fucking names.
Yeah.
That is the biggest problem with actually that I will say with all of these three books that we listened to for this Halloween season. Not a single character of color to be found anywhere in any of them. And like, I know it's the 90s, fucking step it up. Okay, it was the fucking 90s. Did black people not exist? Did Asian people not exist in the 90s? Like, what are you fucking doing? Grow up.
I had the sense to get out of this neighborhood.
Right. They're like, oh, fuck this. Honestly, the truth is they're probably these fucking dumb ass white people are sitting in this neighborhood having parties in the fucking when Haddonfield needs to be burnt the fuck down. Springwood needs to be burnt the fuck down. These places need to be Crystal Lake. Think about it. All three of these things we read were dumb white fucking people doing dumb white people shit, going to dumb fucking white people places they shouldn't have fucking gone to. Yeah. Right? Am I wrong?
Let's bulldoze them all.
Right. Crystal Lake. Let's go to Crystal Lake even though it's shut down. Don't fucking go.
You just get a bulldozer and you push all the cabins and all of the like the hills and the forest and just push it right into the lake. Fill the lake up.
We're gonna live in Nancy.
Fill the ground with salt.
Right. Mm-hmm. We're gonna live in Nancy Thompson's house. Nope. Don't fucking do it. In fact, don't live in Springwood. Don't tempt that bullshit. In Haddonfield, right before Halloween, when we know there are murders that have happened here, we're going to have a huge party in the town hall. Nope. Not at all. You guys are dumb as fuck. Every one of you deserves to die.
The sad part is, in this book, none of them do.
Not enough people die.
There was four murders throughout the whole book.
Yeah. And a dog.
Not counting the dog.
And the Jeep.
And the dog. Yeah, you're right. That's a tree. A tree.
Michael Myers killed a fucking tree.
This is like a Dollar General version. Myers. This is like Mickey Moon. He's like the unarticulated action figure you get that's not quite Michael Myers, but he has like a red mask on, and also he carries around like bolt cutters.
Mikey Myers.
There you go.
Still a better love story than Twilight.
Yeah, still a better love story than Twilight. Exactly. Hey, at least this book is way more sexual than Twilight. Well, guys, do you have anything else you want to end with? I got fucking book sucked ass. I was gonna
this
rank
book ended
it.
Me.
we need to make a choice. That's the thing we got to do before this episode. Because guys, this book fried my brain so much that I think I know what I want to do. We're gonna first of all our next book that we're gonna read. I think we're going to go ahead and we're going to try to read War of the Spark, the Magic the Gathering book. We're going to go into November, and we're going to make November nerdy November. So we're going to read a Magic the Gathering book. We're going to take a week off.
I need it. I fucking need it. My brain needs this shit. I can't handle another week of a bet. Yep.
So we're going to read War of the Spark, and then we're going to take another week off after that, and we're going to read a Warhammer 40K adult book.
Love it.
That's I don't know which one we're doing yet, but yeah, because Halloween's going to be over.
I have some ideas.
Great. Awesome. Halloween's going to be over soon, so we're going to go take a break on the spooky side of things. I'm sorry. Again, I'm sorry that this was our Halloween
You need your rest.
Finale.
Yes, we do. We do. We mm-hmm. need our emotional rest, as do you. Lynn, do you have anything that you want to plug or that you mentioned or that you want to talk about? Thank you so much.
No, it was great. It's just this book made me reevaluate my feeling toward books. And I hate you. I hate you more than Matt.
That's awesome. Okay, because I hate myself too.
Yeah, my brain just shut down and rebooted. Literally, I just felt it reboot.
I saw you cycle through. It was great.
Sorry. So, guys, give some quick plugs here. Lynn is Arsenic and Old Games here. What's your Twitter handle as well?
Fifth Dollenganger.
That.
You should, honestly, just look for one of us, and we've been tweeting at each other all day. So just find one of ours, because holy crap, I couldn't.
I actually think we did a better job compiling our thoughts on Twitter about this book than we did in person, right? Like. Because this fucking book sucked. I am Violence Obscene. I'm Rance. Violence Obscene on Twitch. Call it Bob. I know you got the whole talk to go.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Find us on our website at www.thequarantinebookclub.com. Don't forget to add the at the beginning of it, because you end up at a different site. But you all know that already. Follow us on Instagram at the Quarantine Book Club Podcast. Our Facebook group is at the Quarantine Book Club. You can find Rance on Twitch. He already told you that. You can find me on Twitch at Bob Design. Also, be sure to find us on YouTube, wherever you find your great podcasts, and make sure to like, subscribe, follow, review, all of that other dumb bullshit. I hate this book.
I'm sorry that you do.
Lynn, thanks for joining us.
Yes, I really
thank you for giving me your comfort through this hard time.
Really appreciate it. I am going to send us over to somebody, as you guys know, anytime that we end up podcast.
I'm Bob.
I'm Rance.
I'm broken.
And this has been the Quarantine Book Club.
Guys, thank you so very much.
Happy Halloween.
Happy
Halloween.
Happy spoopies. Spoopies.